Welcome into the debut episode of Texans on Tap. I'm Brandon Strange with SportsMap senior content contributor Charlie Palillo and SportsMap.com editor Josh Jordan. Follow them at Palillo and at JoshJordan975 on X. Jack Brame behind the scenes producing. It's our first episode, which was kind of the theme of week one. Center, QB, OC, head coach. We'll hope for a better debut than the Texans' debut, but they fall to the Ravens 25-9 in Baltimore. All eyes were on number two overall pick CJ Stroud. Guys, what did you see in CJ Stroud's debut?
Nothing terribly exciting, nothing terribly unsurprising, nothing terribly disappointing. And the Texans were in over their head. They have injuries in an offensive line, which healthily projects to be okay. Well, it was weak. The run game was weak. There was very little downfield passing game because their receiving core, I think, is weak. And C.J. Stroud's learning curve, you're not going to have him just drop back and be winging the ball all across the lot. He didn't look athletically overmatched, made a couple of awful throws. That's going to happen. He does not have what you'd consider to be just a real hummer of an arm, but I think enough to grow into the role. And foremost, that's what this entire season's about, right? The Texans, in terms of winning and losing games, they're going to stink again unless there's a massive surprise. It's does C.J. Stroud, as the season goes along, you know, it's not going to be linear, better every week, better every week, better, but more better than stepping back week to week, that by the end of the season, you're feeling confident. I mean, comparing him to where Davis Mills was the end of last year, if we're making any sort of comparison, it's a freaking disaster. But they better have gotten it right on C.J. Stroud, or the organization's going to continue to be in the dumper for years.
Yeah, it was just a lot of dink and dunk. Stroud only threw one pass that traveled 20 yards or more. So, I mean, if you're Baltimore and you know you can just keep everything in front of you, you know, good luck. And same deal with the running game. If you're not pushing the ball down the field, then you can load up to stop the run. So that was my big takeaway with CJ, just holding the ball for so long and in really inopportune times where basically the series is over because he takes such a bad sack. So, and when they were starting to get things going too, that's when you saw that take place. So just a lot of momentum killers. That was a little disappointing.
Rookie quarterback debuting on the road against a good team with a good defense, albeit one without its number one cornerback, Marlon Humphrey, out injured. So that was a tough spot. The Ravens were the biggest favorite on the board week one in the NFL for a reason. They're good. The Texans are not. And the form chart held. Damian Pierce is an interesting one, as Josh alludes to him. You know, he's obviously their best back, really their only starting caliber back. I thought Singletary was a nice complimentary add, but I mean, Pierce is the guy. But when you're not going to be any good in the shelf life of running backs, how do they want to handle his workload? Right, last year, they shut him down the final weeks of the season, dinged up a little bit, and hey, we're trying to get the highest draft pick possible was the Texans' mode there. Let's not stumble into a win by accident. They were okay to avoid that regardless of who was playing. But Pierce, do you want to run him 20, 25 carries per game and take tread wear off the tires for year three, year four, as opposed to hold him in that 10 to 15 range? I would hope they'd feed him a little bit more in the spirit of trying to win a game or two or three, more than the expected three or four or five where they come in. And Pierce, you know, he runs hard. He's not slight of build, but he's not, you know, Derrick Henry sized. So I doubt they're going to feed him and feed him and feed him as much as fans might say, hey, give us a better chance to win, run the ball a little bit effectively to open some things up, ideally play action or just to ease C.J. Stroud's transition some.
Yeah, that was one of my big takeaways, Charlie. And I don't expect him to have 24 carries or anything, but I mean, he had 13 total touches against the Ravens. That's it. And I mean, I look here, Singletary had 7 carries and it was on third down too, where they kept bringing in Mike Boone. Like, don't you want one of your best playmakers on the field on third down to try and help move the chains? So that was disappointing to me. And it just reminded me of last year when Rex Burkhead out-touched Damian Pierce and everybody was like, you know, what the hell's going on? It seems like they didn't really learn their lesson here. I mean, he only touched the ball 13 times. So I don't know. That's got to improve if they want a chance. But I get it. You don't want to run him into the ground or run him to death, but he should be pretty fresh the first game of the season. He should at least see 15 or 20 touches, I would imagine.
You know, it's week one, so you don't want to jump to any conclusions. But a little broader view on the offense, I don't want to see Robert Woods getting more snaps at wide receiver than any of the young guys. Nico Collins had a decent game productively. I mean, the Texans, 268 yards of total offense is not good. 60 of those were garbage time drives in the fourth quarter after it was 25-9. But Robert Woods is a 32-year-old possession receiver. He's a professional, but he's not a playmaker. And if you're going to grow with Stroud, you know, Nico Collins, I don't know, Dalton Schultz is tight end in the passing game. Noah Brown did get some run there. Mechie was inactive. You know, you're probably going to ramp him up coming off beating leukemia. But when I saw that Robert Woods played more than any other wide receiver, my thought was, eh. And I will say, D'Amico Ryan's going to have a full honeymoon season. Right? This is not David Culley or Lovie Smith part three. So decisions that don't work out don't bother me if they're grounded in reason. The going for it on fourth and short twice. Once their first possession at their own 47-yard line after a running into the kicker. And then the Ravens out-scheme them. Patrick Queen comes unblocked, sacks C.J. Stroud. But going for it, especially as the inferior team, midfield, fourth and one to take a shot, that wasn't just a wild risk taken. That was a very reasonable decision that failed. And then they did it again, also their own end, 42-yard line, fourth and one. I thought a pretty bland play call behind a feeble offensive line to just run Damian Pierce to the right side. He came nowhere close to getting the first down. But in terms of analytics and philosophy, you know, if you buy into a go-for-it attitude, we're going to try to win, not try to avoid a lose. I thought D'Amico Ryans tactically played both of those positions wisely.
Well, if Pierce isn't a run threat, that's certainly going to affect C.J. Stroud's ability to perform. And it's unfair to compare because he's playing against a guy who was very elusive on the other side, Lamar Jackson. But C.J. did not look especially elusive. And I know that's not necessarily something that's his calling card. But if you're going to have a non-existent run threat, then that certainly is going to not bode well for Stroud. Let's get into, we talked about this as a week of first, Bobby Slowick. What did you guys see from him as far as play calling and what could he improve upon?
I mean, if you give a gourmet chef Spam and other mediocre ingredients, don't expect a five-star meal. Slowick growing into the job, right? Kyle Shanahan really ran that 49ers offense. If we want to hone in on one particular call, bootlegging Stroud to the left when you have your third tackle in the game at the time and he just gets crushed on that play. You know, that's tough for good quarterbacks to be rolling away from their throwing side where ideally you want to have the time to be able to get squared up toward your target and throw the ball. You know, not everyone can just run left and then fling it like Patrick Mahomes. So I mentioned the fourth down, very simplistic run of Pierce to the right side. I thought that was a bad call. You know, and sometimes bad calls work. Sometimes good calls don't work. I think that entire offensive side of the ball, work in progress. And as a pet peeve, I found it annoying that the supposed best left tackle in football, which he's not, Laremy Tunsil, armed with a 3-year, $75 million extension or not, a midseason form of penalties, a holding call and a false start. He's a very good player, but no one thinks of him as the Anthony Munoz or Orlando Pace or Tony Boselli, Jaguars Tony Boselli, not Texan stiff Tony Boselli. Tunsil should be cleaning that type of stuff up. The holding call was maybe dicey, but the false starts, he's had a propensity for those since he's been there, and he should stop for $1.5 million per game.
Yeah, I didn't see a lot of creativity out of the offense. I thought I saw some wide receiver screens, but I didn't see a lot of running back screens, which the 49ers are pretty famous for, especially if you have a really aggressive front. You can sometimes take advantage of that. Like I said, only one ball over 20 yards, so there weren't really any shot plays. It didn't seem super creative to me. It seemed just kind of vanilla, which you should expect with an OC. You know, his first game, rookie quarterback, he doesn't want to overwhelm him too much. And they were just kind of lucky to get lined up at times during that game, so that was an issue for me.
Josh, talk about that. Let's talk about the use of the timeout. I mean, they were burning timeouts. Their timeouts were gone in each half very, very early. Is that a time management from D'Amico? Is that line coaches being able to swap out personnel? What's going on there that's causing them to burn their timeouts really, really early and put them behind the eight ball?
They're just not moving quick enough. And that's what's going to happen with a rookie quarterback. I think in the second half, I think there was 9 or 10 minutes left and they were out of timeouts. I also saw one time too, I think a receiver ran to the wrong side and Stroud was, you know, trying to be like, ooh, how do I get him lined up in the right spot before the time runs out without having to call another timeout? So that's just something they got to pick up. maybe more time in the preseason. They could have played Stroud more just to get him a little more used to this, but they didn't. That's something they got to clean up. But being on the road too, Ravens, it's a loud, nasty environment for CJ Stroud. I think when he's at home facing the Colts this next week, it should be a little bit easier for him.
Yeah, that stuff's not on D'Amico. Offensive struggles of getting a play in on time or not being lined up properly in formation. Other than he'll need to make the point, if it's a lingering issue, that either you get it right or, you know, you're not a Supreme Court justice. The job's not yours for life. And hey, player, if you can't handle the snap count or line up properly or motion the way you're supposed to motion, we'll go with someone else who can at least get that sort of stuff right. It's just going to take a while, right? This team's been down the toilet for 3 years, and they're not going to be able to plunge themselves out of this. Can you plunge yourself out over the course of just one season?
We've stated it. Starting off against the Ravens is getting thrown into the deep end, especially with limited, you know, snaps in the preseason. Defense on the other side of the ball, defense at times looked competitive. What were your thoughts? Let's start with Will Anderson, because that's the number three pick. All eyes are on him as well. What were your thoughts on Will Anderson's debut?
I thought he looked good. I mean, the sack was a nice play. He was getting pressure. They were having to respect him being out there. So he was one of the highlights for me. It's, hey, he's on pace for 17 sacks this year. We'll take that, right? So I was very happy with him. I thought some of the other guys, like, you know, Steven Nelson had an interception. So that was nice. I think, you know, Stingley had a pass interference, but overall, he wasn't the reason they lost that game yesterday. I think the big key was in the second half. Once Jalen Petrie was out, you're already rolling with Eric Murray at safety because of the other injury to Jimmy Ward. So once the second half started going, they really ran the ball, especially in the red zone. It was like third down and quite a few yards, and they just simply handed it off and they punched it right in. And then they basically dialed up the same play for the 2-point conversion. Once some of those injuries took place, running the ball became pretty easy. So you have to worry if Jalen Petrie's not back for next week. Maybe that's a bugaboo again.
Yeah, I think there are a handful of players on this defense that matter in terms of going forward. Obviously, Will Anderson, who better be, you know, Myles Garrett-ish. Or you want to go back a generation, Derek Thomas-ish. I'm not going to say Lawrence Taylor-ish. But again, more recently, and again to Aguiland, you know, Von Miller healthy-ish, because he was the third pick in the draft, and the Texans gave up a bounty. And it's not too early to start a potentially gruesome watch. Right, the Texans probably going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They don't have their first round pick because they gave up the first pick of the second round, as well as number 12 in the first round to vault up to number three. And the Arizona Cardinals have the Texans' first pick in the 2024 draft. The compensation or hedge on that is the Texans have the Cleveland Browns' first round pick as the final payoff from the Deshaun deal. Well, the Browns have a defense that may raise holy hell this year. They could be a playoff team. And the Texans could have a pick in the first round in the 20s and not have a pick that would be in the top three. So Will Anderson needs to be the truth. He can be really good. But if he's not great, that trade could still be nightmarish for the Texans. But echoing Josh, it was a strong first debut. John Grenard, who flashed well as a pass rusher a couple of seasons ago last year, a lost season, had the early sack. Let's see him stay healthy. And if Will Anderson starts drawing double teams, then Grenard should be making hay. Christian Harris is the young linebacker with some athleticism, I think has a chance to be a mainstay at the second level. You know, they can keep signing these journeyman guys and talk about former Pro Bowler Denzel Perryman, keyword former. And then on the back end, hey, Stingley, injury issues at LSU, injury issues last season, played every snap yesterday. And so he'll still have some learning curve, and you're hoping going forward that it's not, oh, they should have taken Sauce Gardner instead. You know, 1 year in, of course, but that's 1 year, right? The Jets drafted an all-pro rookie cornerback right after the Texans take Stingley. And then there's Jalen Petrie. A bruised lung just sounds, but that's one that is generally easily recoverable from, if not necessarily for week two. But there, I think I named five guys who, when the Texans get good, you're hoping all five of those guys are key young pieces of an aggressive defense under D'Amico.
Last question here. Who was your Texans player of the game?
I have to completely rule out the offense. They didn't find the end zone. So I'll go Anderson as a beacon of hope, and I believe he was credited with half a dozen quarterback pressures. That's good work.
I'll go offense to be different. Or, you know, how about Nico Collins? We were hoping that he would take a step this year, that, you know, Caserio traded up to go grab him. he passed on Amon-Ra St. Brown to do so. You know, let's hope that Nico, that he pans out, because he's still young. He's big. He was getting open. And as Charlie pointed out, Robert Woods is at the back stage of his career. It'd be nice if Nico and Tank Dell could get going. But so I'll give it to Nico. He had a nice game.
All right. Well, that's it for episode one of Texans on Tap. We're previewing Texans Colts in week two. In tomorrow's episode, you can get the audio version of that podcast early. So go find us on your favorite podcast provider. We're at Apple, Spotify, Amazon. Make sure you subscribe on this new channel on YouTube. We do appreciate the support. Thanks for listening, and go Texans.